Blog Talk Radio.
A denied entry to USA show.
You go retaliate and do towards your friends, it becomes a gang situation. Listen, you know, y'all up against the military, and then y'all become a militarized zone.
All right, listen up. Have you been stopped at the U.S. border?
Trying to keep it going, you know what I'm saying? But whoever bring the noise, you know, 209 to figure road, you know what I'm saying? We got to handle our business. We ain't let nobody step on our toes. Blood, rips, or whoever.
Right here, these are that.
Do you have a criminal record? You know who you are.
Come on, bullet holes, scars. Come on, 19, 20 years in prison. YA, camp, juvenile hall, San Quentin, Spokane, Solidar, Cork, Pelican Bay, Chino, the whole.
Well, this show is definitely for you then.
I think the police out here primarily arrest criminals, irregardless of their hue, criminal allegiance, sex, religion, faith, all that. They are out here to arrest criminals. And gang members tend to fall into the criminal realm. They're criminals. They shoot, kill, pack illegal weapons. They're criminals. So as a consequence of that, they have to have a gang division of the police department. No, but the pigs ain't out just to arrest a certain person. They are anti-criminal. I ain't mad at them. That's their job. 5-0, no, I ain't got nothing against them. As far as they being soldiers, taking money out of the bank. If they swatting me on some activity, I gotta get down with them. That's the rule. But I ain't gonna fuck with them for no reason, and they ain't gonna fuck with me. Cause I drive by the rules. I ain't got nothing against 5-0. They push up on me, I'm getting ill. And the motherfuckers going.
Now, reaching out to you from the beautiful Pacific Northwest, it's Ken and Lisa.
Another exciting episode of the Denied Entry to USA show. A show that's for you and only you and maybe others. So, you know who I am. Ken Scott, Sr., U.S. Immigration Law Intelligence Analyst with www.usentrywaiverservices.com with 1-888-908-3841 or 04-332-9213, and we're there when you need us. So I wanted to have my esteemed colleague, immigration law intelligence analyst, and hey, Rich, you're there. Are you there? Oh, are you there? Where did you go? Let's see. Are you there?
Are you there? All right, I'm here, brother. Can you hear me?
Yeah. See, with these shows, it's, you just never know. You never know what's going to happen next. It could be anything. I have to give you a proper intro, which is...
We in the motherfucking house for the 9-4. Ain't hype in the motherfucking house. Yeah. MCA and DJ Slip in the motherfucking house. Compton in the house. Nigga. Compton in the house, fool. Compton in the house, bitch. Yeah. You can nail me to the motherfucking wall. You can bust me in the head with gas, but fuck ass nigga, I'll be back. Yeah, you fucked up.
Yeah, Rich, bro. When I every time I hear that song, always that's what Brother Rich.
Yeah, not the buck on that one.
I know, you thought I was going to do the Hulk Hogan intro, so I like making things like so sporadic, so natural, where people know that everything is natural. So I wanted to talk about what happened yesterday when a gentleman came into the Surrey office, and you're the expert in that, this part of the episode, and today's show is about what happens truck drivers beware of CBP at the border, you could end up needing a U.S. entry waiver. And we're going to talk about what happens when a Canadian truck driver gets caught doing point-to-point / cabotage / interstating while in the USA. But maybe you can explain to the audience what cabotage, point-to-point interstating is.
Oh, man. You know what? It's funny we talk about this one again. I think there was another episode we did this. We just lightly touched upon it. One of the most popular questions I personally get from truckers after a violation, you know, hey, Rich, can a Canadian driver do pickups and deliveries in the United States? Do you know commercial drivers and carriers understand that interstating, whether it's cabotage or whether it's point to point, you know, it's not allowed. There are unique situations that need clarification. Like, for an example, you know, can I move an empty trailer to a different point in the USA? Can I pick up a load in the USA and deliver to another point in the USA? You know, before I, you know, picking up a load to go back to Canada, if it's en route, you know, is that allowed? You know, rules are rules. That's just, you know, that's how we are.
Yep.
That's how we live in this day and age, is under rules. For the United States, everything is just basically thrown into one package and they just call it cabotage. You know, it's the universal term, CBP uses for truckers, and there's two, you know, regulatory bodies, you know, agencies. You know, number one, CBP, Customs Border Patrol. Number two, INS, which is Immigration and Naturalization Service. You gotta understand both. They're different, but at the same time, they're both together. So you violate one,
exactly,
you're screwing up the other.
So if you don't mind if I cut in, so if I can tell the audience in Beavis and Butthead type language, if my name is I'm Jazz Sadu, I head out from Surrey, I cross over, and I have to go to Seattle to pick up some oranges. So I head out across the border, I drive down, and I'm supposed to go to Seattle, but let's say I go to Seattle and I pick up the oranges, but I take those oranges to Spokane, Washington. But in Spokane, I pick up a load of sheet metal, and I bring that back to Surrey, and CBP finds out maybe on the next trip or whatever. They say, Surrey, you were going down from Surrey to Seattle. Why did you go to Spokane? And that's when I say inside, oh, shit. So would you say that's a simple explanation of doing the cabotaging? I went down, picked up a load in Seattle, took it to Spokane. In Spokane, I picked up a load to bring to Canada, where I was only supposed to go down to pick up oranges in Seattle and bring them back to Surrey. So I just broke the cabotage law.
Well, you did. You did. And, you know, one of my personal manuals for people that have been, you know, caught in a certain type of, whether it's a point-to-point, whether it's cabotage, whether it's, you know, interstating, in my manual, I will use an excerpt from my manual. And in other words, taking a shipment to a point in the United States from Canada, dropping the load, picking up a load destined to a point within the USA, but en route back to Canada, drop this load, pick up another load going to Canada. At end of the day, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, now, we were discussing this yesterday, and you see how these guys get caught. So when they re-enter, the guard can – what's the equipment you said that they can scan to see where you went? What do you call it?
Well, sorry. Well, every time you go to the border, whether you're a driver or you're just someone that just, you know, let's just use for an example, from Vancouver to catch a Seattle Seahawks game. Every time your passport gets scanned, they know when you entered and when you left. They know that. Every time that passport number gets scanned, okay, so when were you in USA? Well, I was just here 3 days ago. Come into secondary. We need to talk to you. Why is it a freak? And then drivers like these get questioned on a daily basis. That's why there's, you know, I mean, they are eliminating manual logs. They're going to the electronic logs. Every time you go to a weigh scale, and if we talk in the United States, they are one of the biggest, you know, transportation infrastructure in the entire planet. They've got weight scales in every damn state. With that being said, they know, you know, even if you went to the local weight scale and you got out of your truck, they know how many times you shook it at the end of the day. They know that. I mean, they're not, you know, and CBP's mandate is, you know, they don't want you stealing jobs at the end of the day. And that's where it gets pinpointed as cabotage. It, long story short, that's if you look up the word cabotage, it means you're not supposed to do something in somebody else. It's like going to somebody else's backyard and pissing in their pool. You're not, you can't do that.
So let's do a quick role play so people can visualize this. So let's say if you're the border guard and I'm Jazz, I'm crossing over the second time, and you say, you probably say to me, well, how are you doing, Mr. Singh? Why don't you pretend you're the guard?
Hey, Jazz, how are you doing? What's your destination today?
Oh, very good. Oh, I have to go to Seattle. I must get the oranges. 100%. I'll go there. I'll be right back. Don't worry. I'll be right back.
What are you taking down with you today, Jazz?
Oh, they told me to take the empty trailer. I must take this empty trailer down. And then when I go down, I'm just going there.
So who told you to take the trailer?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was my dispatcher, 100%. Dispatcher, he told me I must go.
Are you going, is there any point in the United States you're going other than to pick up the oranges?
I he told me I must go to Seattle. That's all he told me. I had to go. I must go.
Jazz, why don't you just, you know, park the truck, come on inside.
Oh, okay, no, okay. So
that's
now I'm inside.
The tricky part, yeah, that's the tricky part. People get scared.
Oh, then we got to get to the juicy part about you asked Jazz. You know what? Your logs have told us something different. What did you do 2 days ago?
Let's replay that role, and I'll say, Mr. Jazz, you re-entered the United States 2 days ago, did you not?
Yes, sir.
Where were you?
I had to go to Los Angeles to pick up wood.
That's fine. Where did you go from after Los Angeles?
I got back in the truck, and I started coming home.
Where is home?
I started coming back to Surrey.
Did you stop anywhere else, Jazz?
I had to stop at the scale. I had to stop at the scale. I had to use the washroom.
Okay, what scale do you recall you stopped at?
Oh my God, sir! I mean, It's too many scales. I don't know. I don't remember. I think exit 236, I think that's the exit.
Jazz, it says you went from California at the last check stop, or the last scale, and you ended up in Boise, Idaho.
Sorry, it's so hot here, sir. Can I have some water? Oh, it's too hot.
Well, don't worry about the water. I asked you a question. I need it answered. Yes or no? Did you not go to Boise, Idaho?
My dispatcher, he called. He yelled. He told me to hurry and go to Boise to pick up apples. He told me I was so scared. He told me if I didn't pick up apples, I get fired. He told me.
So what happened after Boise, Idaho?
I picked up the apples and I tried to find shortcuts, so I stopped Spokane, and then I ran out of time, so I had to drop the load.
So, in other words, did you have another extended driver with you? Did you have a team driver with you?
No, sir. It's just me.
So
he told me I must drop the load. He told me take this load, or else I'm fired. He told me 100%, sir. Humber's the truth. He told me I had to do it.
That's fine. Thank you for telling me this. Under U.S. Law, you are not supposed to be doing what you told me you have done. You know, under a certain, you know, I don't want to quote certain statutes because, you know, competitors would say, well, you know, there's ways around it, but there really isn't. Sir, you have been given a section, part of the code, that you are ineligible to return to the United States, and we have given you a ban for 5 years.
Oh, sir. Oh, my God. No, sir. Please, no. I'm so sorry. I was just so scared. He told me he had to do it. I'm scared. He told me 100%. He said I have to do it. I don't know. I never knew I could not do it. He told me,
sir.
Sir, I guarantee. I swear.
Under provision and under law, you are inadmissible to return to the United States. You can go
one of two ways. I am so sorry, sir. I am so sorry. I did not know.
Well, you just admitted that you went from California to Boise, Idaho, back to Canada. You are that.
I was so scared. I was so scared. So sorry.
Did your boss put a gun to your head and force you to do this?
No, sir. He yelled at me on the phone. He told me, hurry and go. I don't know what to do. I went.
Mr. Jazz, I'm going to ask you one last time. Do you understand the laws of the road?
Yes, sir.
Well, do you understand what cabotage is?
Yes, sir.
Do you understand what point-to-point is?
Yes, sir. It means you pick up a load, one state.
It's just yes and no answers, sir. Do you understand point-to-point is? Do you know what interstating is?
Yes, sir.
You have been deemed inadmissible under these codes.
Oh, sir, I'm so sorry. What can I do?
Me being a CBP officer, I'm just going to chuck you a packet and say you've got one or two choices, my friend. You can apply for a waiver or two. You're, hey, My job is not to let you in. I'm sorry to say, I'm a CBP officer, and you're fucked. Well, sorry I'm saying fucked, but you are screwed.
It is. Now, let me go into the juicy part that people don't know, and this also applies to anyone that's on work permit or PR. So, Jazz, let's say he gets a five-year ban. Let's say he got a five-year ban June of 2021, and he's on a work permit, let's just say. He's been on a work permit for 1 year. So 2021 to 2026. So then he comes to us, and we explain, well, look, sir, you have two choices. First choice is to do nothing. Second choice is we have to run this through the U.S. consulate on Pender Street. So we explained to him how the fact that they canceled your B-1, B-2 visa, sir, which is visitor visa. So because it's canceled, that means the visa is no longer in effect, which means you cannot enter. So he says, well, how do I get another visa back? Well, you got to reapply for another visa, and you got to hope in capital letters. You got to hope the consular officer allows you to waive this offense. Now, if the consular officer walks out, and they normally they talk to you maybe 10 to 20 seconds, if that much, and they say yes, no, or whatever, there's a good chance the consular officer is going to say, okay, yep, sir, okay, yep, looks nice. And you ask, and he's asking the officer about this case. He says, nope, denied. And he said, but sir, but I can't, I have to feed my family. He says, sorry, denied, bye. They have the door. He is up a creek without a paddle, and his boat is full of holes. Because at that point, there's nothing else he can do. People, these guys don't get that when you're a PR on a work permit, and you're that B-1, B-2 visa, you try to enter the USA as a driver, you get caught cabotaging or anything, or matter undirected, other than directed, using your famous words. You are fucked. Because that means you're at the mercy of that embassy officer, that consular officer, to see if he's willing to approve you again. And if he's not willing to approve you, which is a good chance he's going to say no, you are screwed until you're a citizen, basically. Because let's just say you say, well, I'm not going to get this, I'll be PR. That's fine. You're still at the mercy of that consular officer until you leave this planet. Then you decide to become a citizen, and 5 years has passed, then you may or may not need a waiver, depending upon the codes, because there's two ways they can burn you with those codes. They can burn you with the working code. They can burn you with the lifetime ban and working code. So it depends on you. It depends how you handle yourself. It depends what your story is. It depends on the CBP officer. It's so many variables and factors there. So as you already know this, bottom line, if you're a PR and this happens to you, you are screwed. Now, if you're a Canadian citizen, yeah, we can apply for a waiver. But the thing about that is, and this is where I'm not giving the discount waiver companies any kind of headway, those packets have to be prepared a certain kind of way and after a certain time period has elapsed, depending upon your circumstances. You just can't apply. Well, you can, but let's say Jazz is a citizen, Canadian citizen. He said, let's apply next week. Well, you can. You can apply next week. You'll get denied, but you can apply. Because those cases, there has to be a certain waiting period for them to deem that you're rehabilitated, for them to even consider approving you again. So, and then that's assuming you don't have the code for for misrepresentation, which you might. So they can mix all that stuff together. So no matter how you slice it, you know, how you slice the pie, that extra money they got for cabotaging, what is it, a couple hundred bucks? I don't know the dollar amount. That
you know what? It varies. And this is something I'm going to say, you know, whether it's you're an owner-operator, whether you're a driver from another country with, you know, certain visas, or you're a dispatcher, at the end of the day, I mean, that's in my cabotage manual. You know, purely domestic service or solicitation in competition with the United States operators is not permitted. Plain and simple. So whatever you do, however you do it, there's certain, you know, things that you cannot do. If you think you can do and you get away with it, maybe you get away with it one time. Eventually, it will catch up with you. Now, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, sorry. I was going to say that couple of $100 you got for cabotaging is now going to cost you thousands when you count, like, waivers and man hours and, like, lost income from being able to cross the border. So these guys, they don't get it. Just for that couple of that quick money, they get royally screwed in the end.
Well, absolutely. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, no matter how deep you dig, you know, yourself into a hole, the burden of proof remains with the driver to establish eligibility for entry. So, you know, the basic that you can get from, you know, me just telling you real quick and simple is, if you're a Canadian or you've got your, you know, X visa, you know, to go to go United States, so to speak, you cannot move right to point in the United States, period. That means even if you're swapping a trailer.
Exactly. Hey, on that note, let's take a quick break so we can hear from one of our sponsors.
Absolutely.
Has this ever happened to you? You live in Canada, and you're stopped at the American border and denied entry, preventing you from traveling to Vegas or anywhere in America for that matter. Maybe they gave you a hard time because you got busted smoking a joint or something a long time ago. How about you U.S. citizens who've been stopped at the Canadian border on your way to Whistler, Vancouver, maybe Toronto? Didn't it just piss you off? Well, especially if the border official gave you a hard time because of some little thing on your record from the distant past. Well, denied entry to USA.com can help. Denied entry to USA specializes in resolving border crossing problems. With years of experience, these guys can be your lifesavers. They'll work on your behalf so you can easily go back and forth for vacations, business, pleasure, or just to have fun, if you know what I mean. Online at denied entry to USA.com or give them a call at 888-908-3841. That's 888-908-3841. Get your ass back on the road with denied entry to USA.com.
And we're back to the Denied Entry to USA show, and I'm here with the Surrey manager, and also the cabotage expert, is Rich.
thank you. You know.
So I think people now, they understand about the cabotage, but more so, they understand about if you're PR, if you're on B1, B2 visa, if you're a driver, or even if you're just a PR and you're just a ditch digger in Surrey, you cross that border and you get in trouble in USA. Let's say you stole a car in Bellingham and you're PR, you come back to Canada, you could, and Canada finds out about that, you could really, really be in some deep trouble, even on the Canadian side. So this stuff is nothing to joke around with. And when you're a truck driver, and if you got family to feed, you got, you know, four or five kids to feed, let's just say, and you're PR, you get caught cabotaging, you lose all that money, you are up a creek. Because from what I understand, and again, we'll have to ask, we'll ask the expert who does the Canadian immigration, the case and you lose your work permit, you might have to leave. And if that's the case, I think you're screwed. But I think they allow, don't quote me, but I believe that you might have a chance to apply for a different permit with a different employer. But I don't really want to touch that too much because obviously that's not our area and we're not giving any kind of advice whatsoever on Canadian stuff. It's just what we have heard. But we can refer them to someone who can help them with that if that's indeed the case. But what I can tell them, if they're PR and this happens to them, this will definitely affect their entry into USA. And then they're not making no more of the big money from crossing the border, and they got to drive in Canada. And every time they come see us, you know, these guys always complain that they're not making enough money just driving in Canada. They always say that.
Well, Ken, you know, me, you know, a former truck driver myself, I mean, I'm retired from the industry, but I was doing it for, you know, over 20 years. Long story short, vehicles registered in Canada are only allowed to enter the United States for international trade, not local trade. And I quote local trade, which means, you know, when once you're in the States, that's local trade. You know, and that, you know, falls in the category as point-to-point and interstating. Now, with that being said, regulations have such a high cost for, like, drivers, like you said, whether you're coming from a different country or you're a Canadian. You know, ultimately, it's your responsibility to work within the legal perimeters of both INS and U.S. Customs, you know, seeking appropriate advice, even if you're unsure if you fall in the cabotage category, you know, it's you know, contact us, you know, because once you're in violation of different sections, like you said earlier, it could cost you, your family, your cargo, and, you know, a lot of other things, you know, being denied admittance to the U.S. in the foreseeable future. You know, maybe your wife and children can go to the States, but you cannot. Maybe you lose your work permit.
Yeah.
You know, it's a huge factor, and it's a lot of stress, not just on, you know, drivers, you know, companies, dispatchers. They have to understand the rules of the United States. United States is another country. It's not Canada. On the same ground.
I was going to touch upon something that ties into that is, again, not to allow discount waiver companies any headway, but when people get those five-year bans, whether you're a trucker or not, there are times when you still need a waiver after the 5 years, and there are times you don't need a waiver after the 5 years, but there's also times when after the 5 years are up, if you don't need a waiver, there's other things that you still have to do in order to not receive another five-year ban, because if you try reentering, let's say if you got the five-year ban where you don't, where you do not require a waiver, but you reenter, I don't know, a week later, and then they see the old ban, they examine you. Sorry, they inspect you because two different things: inspection and examination, two separate categories. They inspect you, and then if they feel that the reasoning for you receiving the first ban is still applicable, you could theoretically receive a second ban. And the discount waiver companies, this is what they don't understand or actually don't know. They're not going to know how to ensure that you do not get a second ban based upon the first ban. And then, you know, you'll need a waiver for that. So, some of the people talk about the prices we charge, but the thing is, we have a 98 to 99% success rate. We very rarely lose, but you know, I'm sorry, you guys got to pay the cost because you're paying the cost of quality. So if you go to Batman's Experts Pardons and Waivers, whatever, and Batman bends you over, yay, you're the only person you got to blame. You can't even blame Batman. You got to blame yourself because, you know, with this work, guys, you cannot cheap out. And I'm going off topic a little bit here. I never told you this, but this one gentleman rang up the other day for a relative of his for a waiver. And I explained, you know, everything in the cost, whatever, explained that she can get the limo service, which is fine. And he's going to think about it, whatever, whatever. Someone else called up. What day was it? It was maybe Monday. This, but well, people call all the time, but this particular person called on a Monday and we explained the cost. She asked for, I know you cringe when you hear this, but she asked for a discount. So we bought it for a cheaper price. And her relative has a drug offense, a fairly serious one. So I said, look, it's going to be this price. Look at such. She bought it for a discount. I said, okay, you know what? Fine. The administrator, when she hears that, she's going to blow, you know, blow a fuse. Because she hates when that happens, when that's up to the discount. And not to name any names, as you are well aware, we've had other people who came in who tried that, who asked for discounts.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, privacy concerns and stuff like that. I mean, for every single time somebody calls me about Cabotage, if I had a nickel, I would be not just a millionaire, I'd be a zillionaire. Because this industry has changed from 21 years ago when I was driving. And it's a lot stricter and it's a lot harder. And I understand times are tough for a lot of people, but rules are rules. They're not meant to be broken, especially with the United States.
Exactly. We get it all the time.
Basis where I see.
Yeah, so we get it all the time, and then I'm not going to ask you your opinion on discounts. So, I'm not going to put you on the spot like that.
I don't do administration. That's another part of, in you know, that's a department. But my job is to make sure, you know, you are allowed to enter the United States peacefully, quietly. And that's my job. You know, I mean, being a former driver, and you obviously know I need a waiver myself.
That's true.
And not many people in the industry can actually say, well, hey, look, this is how, you know, it works. Here's what a waiver looks like. I'll just show you a generic, you know, online thing. This is what you're going to get. This is how no, it doesn't work like that. I can walk almost every client holding their hand and teaching them what to do and what.
I was going to say something. It kind of ties in. I was going to say that one thing about us that people seem to like and are comfortable with is the fact that everyone in our organization, other than maybe Jimmy or the administrator, has at one point sat in handcuffs in the back of a patrol car, every one of us, except the administrator and Jimmy.
Oh, it's not even that. It's, you know, if you go to a discount waiver company, you start asking, well, what's the process? All right, here, sign here, do this. I mean, I have no issues of, like, walking people through how the process works. And not only myself, not only yourself, you know, there is other, you know, people in the organization that also work with us that are have even, you know, higher profiles than myself that have gotten waivers.
Yes.
If you're scared about something, then at least call us and touch base and we can help you. For me, even if I'm giving you, you know, advice and I'm not charging you for it, it's going to help you in the long run.
Instead of the word advice, I like to always say we're giving you information that's readily available in the appropriate locations as long as you know where to look to obtain it and how to facilitate the facilitate analyzing the material.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you need help with something? No problem. Give me a call. I'll see what I can do for you.
Exactly. So, you know, I love these episodes more than I love the YouTube. YouTube's fine, but I'm more of a radio kind of guy. But, you know, it's just fun to me. I was going to do your other intro, but I won't do it now. Last thing I was going to ask, what do you think about the video from the other day when I was wearing, you know, some bling and I played my, you know, music and dancing?
Unique. Very unique.
That's because of the 5 VIPs we got. And, you know, I was happy. I said, you know what? And I like fun, silly stuff. You know, the serious stuff is fine, but it gets too dry after a while. You got to, you know, live life and loosen up. But I can tell you the feedback I get, the people apparently, they love you, they love me, and they love the administrator. And they like Jimmy. But they love the three of us. And, well, fish food is fish.
Well, you know my favorite saying. You either love me or hate me. There's no in between.
Yep, they do love you. And the gentleman that went down today, I WhatsApped him to see if he wanted to come on a show and talk about what it was like at the border. Because he got the limo service today.
I'm sure he's busy in a manner.
Yeah. You know what I might do?
But...
And if he won't answer, then we'll just have to cut it off so it won't be too long. I might ring him again and see if he wants to comment. He didn't answer the last time.
But for people listening, this one isn't about, you know, border crossing.
Hey, how are you? Hey, good. Did you see my last message? Oh, we're doing an internet talk radio show live now, and I didn't know if you wanted to talk about what it was like for you going down to file today, just to get your opinion, if you want to be a 5-minute guest. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. If I call your number, if you want to let all our guests hear live, we'll just call you Sam. And we'll say Sam went to the border, and Sam can tell us his experience. Like what you just told me for like 2 minutes. So I can call your number. We'll put you on, eh? Okay. I'll call your number in like 1 minute. We'll put you on. You can tell us what your experience was like. Well, no, you'll be on internet talk radio show live, and people can hear your what it was like for you going down and the fact that you went down in the limo. And so we'll call you Sam. We'll call you Sam I Am. I'm going to call you right now. Okay.
Hey, Ken, I want to just reiterate, you know, this one, you know, now we've got Sam, you know, to re-parlay experience. This specific episode is not just general, you know, border crossing. It was more for if you're a truck driver. So I just want people to know that if you are a trucker or you're an owner operator, if you're trucking in the United States, please know your rules, because it will hurt you in the long run if you don't know what you're doing.
That's right.
And let's try to get a hold of Sam and learn about his experience. So back to you.
You know what? Now I got to figure out how to I gotta figure out how do I add him on here. Okay, that's you. Oh, man. How do I add him on?
This is why I don't do technical stuff.
I'm just drawing a blank here. Okay, that's that. That's that. Oh, he's... Okay, you know what? I'll do it this way. Wait. Okay, are you there? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Sam. So
yes.
We can do it this way. People can hear you now.
Okay.
So tell us what it was like today when you went down. Or how did you like the limo?
Well, first of all, in our lawyer stand there in a limo. The limo came to us as a professional driver. Drive us Cadillac. And then he take us on the border. He just parked on the Canadian side. We walk in outside of the USA. They took it, all the file we have it in our lawyer give it to us. And they told me have a seat. So I just sit. They read. They look at it, all the paperwork the lawyer prepared it. And it seems to me they really like it. Is they came for me and they said, we have to take another fingerprint for you. They took another fingerprint for me. And then they told me another way. So I wait another good 20 minutes and then they came back for me and they said, well, we want you to pay the fee right now. And he only asked me just to signature. And then we came back at the Canadian side and I took it my two shots. So they said, no, you can go. Go home. And it went well. And the lawyer preparing every single paper they're looking for. And they read it face to face. And they really like it.
Oh, good. And
everything is good. So I just want to make a recommendation. Anyone who just want to go in a waiver, go to Kenny Scott. And that's a professional person.
Oh, bro, I really appreciate that. And the other gentleman, he didn't have his second shot, so he could not go over.
Yeah, well, what happened is before we go to the other side, we just go to Canadian side, and we say, what's going to happen if we go across the border and go to Seattle side, are we going to lack for 14 days? And then he said, well, if you take the two shots, you don't need it. You don't need it, but if you take one shot, well, you better take it the second shot. So the other guy didn't go. But I took it my two shot already. And it's on my telephone. I have it. And then I just go down there. When I came back, I just showed them. And then they said, you go home.
Oh, perfect. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, okay. I just wanted to, by the way, last thing. Did they mention my name?
Yep. I told him,
No.
Kenny Scott.
What did he say?
He said, who's lawyer? Your lawyer, whoever prepares. And I said, Ken Scott. And it's here. And he said, well, he prepared it in perfectly professional.
Okay. Because the guys there, they all know us. They know me. So I didn't know who you had when you went there.
Yeah. That's what he said. It's a professional, the way he prepared it. Well, professional.
Oh, perfect. All right. No, fair enough. All right. Yeah, because you, all right. So I won't hold you up. And all right, guys, this is Sam and Sam have to go. So, all right, brother.
Yeah.
So we'll chat probably the next day or so.
Okay.
No problem. All right. That was nice of him, eh?
Oh, absolutely.
Hello?
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. He's a good client. So, yeah, I figured since he came down today, we can add him on. And, you know, I'm going to let him know. I'm going to send him the link. He let his friends listen to it. We will send you the YouTube. I'm going to put it on YouTube. Link. Okay. There. So I'm thinking maybe tomorrow we'll put it on YouTube. So, all right. Other than that, you have anything else? To add? What do you think?
No.
Plain and simple. I mean.
So, yeah, today was a good episode. This episode was a bit longer than needed, but I like doing things spirit of moment. I said, you know what, let me see if Sam I Am, obviously it's not his name, but Sam I Am wants to chat. And it worked out perfectly.
No, I mean, I think we're done here for Cabotage and Point to Point. Interesting, so.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, that's the close of today's episode. Join us for another episode coming up very soon. And in the words of my Vulcan colleague, live long and prosper.
Here I stand, done bent. Gotta represent South Bend, throat, L.A. every day, nigga, monthly, yearly. 34 to be exact, nigga, fear me. Atomic dog, I'm in your zone, your area. Bull Mastiff, Pit Bull Terrier. I'm coming through like the Wu Dump in Chambers. Third Life, get it right, nigga, danger. 7 shots to my body, ain't no killing me. Lock and load, double back, I had you feeling me. 40 Glock up on your block, headshot. Chest plate getting blown when the 9 knocks. And in the distance, ain't no resistance. Say your homeboy swear they gonna murder me. Said they heard of me, they think I'm on a murder spree. But when they roll up and Chase try to find me, that's when I'm dumping with the fat Mac 90. From the cradle to the grave, I've been kicking static. I've been around from revolvers to automatic. See, I'm a stand-up, stomp-down soldier. Much older now from back then, when I was thugging in my songs on my black swim. See, I'm a G, nigga, married to the thug shit. Here the C-O-E, Sherm stick. That's how we do it, kicking back.
Commit to going combat, gangsta media, terrorize the city. I thought you knew Swift to the combo, competitor, garage cheese, looks like Kedatar. Knocking out, beyond the bus. Right, fuck a trick.
What up? Join us next time for another episode of the Denied Entry to USA Show. A show to not only educate you about US entry waivers, but we're also here to help you stay out of trouble. Make your choices in life wisely. Handle your business, or your business will handle you.
Yeah, we're gonna give y'all a little something about what happens on an everyday life over here, man. Each and every day, it's the same niggas, the same people, the same community, whatever. We don't change.
Fit as I ride, smoking that pot. Oh, still stay lit, my eyes are so, they clinging like fire. I keep a blazer, but I know I get so higher. See, man, it's something that cut with Levi's on creep. Fuck peace if you got